Hi everyone, welcome back to the Congressional App Challenge Debugged podcast. I'm your host, Medha, and today we have a guest with us who is from a background that I've never spoken with before, so I'm very, very excited. We have Colleen Parra. She was born and raised in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Industrial Engineering from Iowa State University. She was fascinated with factory automation and started her career in a rotational training program at General Electric, in which she completed 4 6-month assignments focused on manufacturing processes and technical leadership skills. From a young age, she was interested in exploring the world, and during the course of her career, she has lived and worked in 4 different countries. After working in manufacturing for a few years and completing her MBA, she decided to move into a technology business with General Electric. She is also a certified Six Sigma Black Belt and was the company's Asia Pacific quality leader based in Hong Kong, supporting the company's quality program across 15 countries in the region. For the past 10 years, she has worked in IT application development and support roles for the company OpenText. In her current role as Vice President of Digital Experience, she manages a global team that supports customer-facing applications, such as the company's website, customer support ticketing systems, and other applications. How are you doing today? And thank you so much for coming.
Hello, Medha. I'm doing great. Thank you. Looking forward to the weekend and so happy to be here and talk to you this morning. So thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on. So I want to jump right into it. So your current role is a Vice President of Digital Experience. What does that mean? What kinds of teams are you managing? What clients are you working with? What are your projects looking like? And like, what is digital experience? I feel like that's such a phrase like that's thrown around, but I'm so curious as to what that means.
Sure, yeah, you hear that term a lot, right? And I can tell you what it means in terms of my current role. So I manage a team that builds and supports applications that our employees and customers use. So for example, we manage our website and the customer support ticketing system that's used to assist customers if they need to download software that they buy from OpenText or get support when they need it for the products that they use. So my team, you know, writes code, installs software, sets up servers to run the software, and then provides help to our employees that use our applications when they need help. As a leader, I do things like plan out the application roadmap of how we're going to use the applications going forward, approve project requests, get funding to support to complete the requested work, and I help my team make decisions or solve problems that may arise. So an important part of my job is defining the structure of our team and hiring staff. So I get barriers out of the way for my team. So when you lead a team, you get things done through other people. And so my main job is to set up my team for success and remove any barriers to their progress. It's also important for me to work with the leaders of the teams that use the applications my team supports to understand their business goals and how my team helps them to do their jobs. So my customers are OpenText employees who use our applications to serve our external customers. And our external customers include businesses who use our software to work with other businesses, and also individuals who use OpenText software on their own computers. Knowing my customers and talking to them frequently helps me understand what they need and be ready to support them when we have a new request. And digital experience is the way that our customers interact with us through the portals and the websites and the digital experience, either mobile or on a computer, right? And the types of projects my team works on include like setting up new applications, upgrading applications, writing code to automate business processes, and the projects to integrate companies that OpenText buys. So when we buy a company, they have applications and we have applications and we need to combine those two.
That's so interesting. And so do you mind explaining what OpenText actually is?
Sure. So it's an IT company. It has many, many different products, but a lot of our customers are other businesses. So it's not as easy to describe maybe as a consumer product where as an individual you've interacted with that that product, right? But most of our customers are large companies who are using technology to either buy or sell and to automate their business processes. OpenText hosts a lot of those applications and provides what is called managed services for customers so that they don't have to worry about the IT part. OpenText does it for them. But OpenText is very diverse in terms of the products that we have. And we also have products that are used by small businesses or by individuals and consumers.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And that's very, very, very interesting. And so I want to pivot a little bit to ask about your career journey. So I noticed that you went from industrial engineering to now in digital experience. And so what did it look like to pivot into a more, I want to say, business and technology role, going from someone who was really hands-on in industrial engineering? Were there any skills that overlaps? Did you have to develop a new skill set? How did you go about making that decision and honestly taking such a big leap?
Oh yeah, it's a great question because they do sound like very different areas, right? Engineering to begin with is a very broad area. So I studied industrial engineering because I was fascinated with manufacturing processes and automation. So the machines that did the production of widgets in a factory, for example, right? And early in my career, a lot of manufacturing was being outsourced and moved to from the U.S. to lower cost countries. And I had an opportunity after a few years of working to join GE's information services business, which was a services business instead of a product business. And instead of having a tangible manufactured product, this business provided hosted electronic data transaction services to allow their customers to trade with suppliers and their customers, right? And within that business, I worked on quality improvement projects, and I saw many similarities in the ways that we could improve processes in an IT business the same as we did in manufacturing. And the techniques I use every day in my current role include some of those skills that I learned as an undergraduate and in the manufacturing plants where I held my first jobs. So critical thinking, problem solving, database decision making are all skills I got from completing my engineering degree. And then production line automation techniques can be applied in IT for software development and support. So as much as they sound like very different areas, it's been a gradual transition from one to the other. And then a lot of the skill sets really transition in terms of the way that we approach problems, make things more efficient and deliver value to the customers.
That's amazing. And I love that there was so much overlap, yet so much little overlap. So you get to grow really as you work. And so I'm curious if pursuing your MBA was related to this change in career path, and how do you think it helped develop your career?
You know, when I started working, I realized that I understood a lot about how we could manufacture products, but I didn't know the language of business, which is accounting and finance. I didn't take any of those classes as an undergrad. And I wanted to understand the financial statements that I was seeing at the company meetings and in the annual reports and the reporting of the companies. And so that's why I got an MBA with concentration in finance. And in my later roles, it's helped me to understand the business benefits of the technical work I do. So there needs to be a business benefit in terms of dollars saved or additional revenue. And then there's a cost associated with doing that project. So there needs to be a net benefit in order for it to be worthwhile to do. And I think my MBA has helped me to understand the language of business and how my technical work supports it.
That makes a lot of sense. And so honestly, as someone who's selfishly interested in pursuing an MBA at some point in my career, I'm so interested to hear more about what your experience looked like. And if at any point you questioned where you were trying, like, you're pursuant of the MBA, like while at the program, if there was ever a time where you were like, wait, I feel too removed from engineering. So I'm so curious about that.
So I did my MBA in the evening when I was still working. And so I remember, you know, doing my homework and then going to work and trying to think about how they combined, right? So I think the biggest thing for me was I had some work experience under my belt before I got my MBA. And that gave me context. So when we worked on projects in class, some of them even were from either the company that I was working at or the company that my teammates were working at. And they were real projects that the experience I had so far helped me to really see how I was going to apply it. And that was different than undergrad before I had done any internships or something where it felt maybe more theoretical, right? So you can always go straight into grad school, but for me, it was nice to have some work experience first in that context of, I really see a need for augmenting my skill set, and then this is how I get it, and that those practical applications of it along the way.
That makes a lot of sense. And so now I'm so curious to hear if you have any time management or balancing tips for balancing all of your interdisciplinary interests, because I feel like a part-time MBA while you're working full-time, as well as pursuing any other fun activities, as well as even now being a certified black belt and everything, like, I'm so curious as to how you're able to manage your time and also pursue so many different interests.
Yeah, so I think this is a challenge everybody has, and it's always an ongoing challenge that we have to rise to every day or every, even multiple times per day, right? The thing that I think is a guiding principle for me is a quadrant that I learned in a Steve Covey class early in my career. I went to a Steve Covey class, and you graph importance versus urgency, right? X and Y axis. And we tend to focus on the things that are urgent, no matter whether they're important or not, and the things that are important and urgent, but we need to make time for the things that are important but not urgent. So I personally sit down every morning and I think about, well, at the beginning of the week, I sit down and think, this week, what do I want to get done? And then every morning I sit down and say, what do I want to get done today? And then I come back to it at the end of the day. I might have gotten it done, I might not have. Things might have gone sideways because there's a lot of things we can't control. But for me, I try to really keep the important but not urgent in mind and try to progress those things along the way with all the other things. In terms of a variety of interests, one of the best things about my career path is I've had the opportunity to work in so many different areas. And this is actually the main reason I studied engineering. I loved math, and that was one reason, but also I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I knew that I couldn't picture myself doing the same thing every day. And I knew that engineering would open up the door to a lot of different possibilities. And most of my roles, I've had multiple projects or support responsibilities at the same time to give me exposure to lots of different areas. And then outside of work, I love to read, I love to learn. And I use books, podcasts, and memberships in professional organizations, clubs, and travel as mechanisms to explore my interests in areas that I might not be using at work at the time.
That's incredible. And speaking of travel, I'd love to hear about your experiences working in so many different countries. Not only do you work in four different countries, but you also have managed global teams in multiple different countries. And so I'm so curious as to what that looks like and how you feel like you've been able to adapt your management style and the way that you approach problem solving based off of different cultures and different work environments.
Yeah, I think it's such a great question, Meta. For me, working in different cultures, you know, it definitely changes. It changes a person and it changes his or her leadership style. And I don't think I realized that going into it, but it's very perceptive of you to ask that question because it's definitely true. The first thing I learned when I was working in a different country is what it feels like to be different from everyone else. And this happened when I was working in a factory in Mexico. I was the only blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman working in the plant, and I was a production supervisor. And the fact that I managed employees made me even more unusual. And this experience taught me to be sensitive to others who are different and also to look at problems from their point of view. And another thing I learned is there are different ways to interact with people, and it's important to respect different people's expectations. And for example, I think Americans, including myself, tend to be very practical, pragmatic, efficient. And when I was in Mexico and also in Southeast Asia, I learned the importance of slowing down and making a personal connection before jumping right into whatever the request or question is. And that's just one example of that sensitivity that these international experiences brought to me. And in terms of adapting to culture, one of the most important ways was I tried to learn the language and also, you know, learn about the culture, the values, and see how that is applied in the way of working and learning. For me, I did this by reading books, asking questions, interacting with local people at work and then outside of work too. So, for example, I made an effort to go to the local shops and restaurants when I can. When I lived in Hong Kong, I bought my groceries in the street market, which they call wet markets there. I spoke very, very limited Cantonese when I was there, but I tried to use the words that I had when I had an opportunity. And language is an important part of understanding the culture and connecting with people. And so that was an important thing to me. I also think that my attitude about living abroad helped me adapt. So I really wanted to have those experiences, sought them out, and I found the differences fascinating, and I made an effort to engage as much as possible and with the real local lifestyle and the people around me. In terms of leadership style, I think, you know, living in Mexico and then Southeast Asia changed my leadership style in a profound way. And like I said, I didn't think about that going into it, but without realizing it, it taught me to adapt my approach to people with different experiences, styles, and expectations. It taught me the value of diversity so that I could seek it out to increase diversity and appreciate it on every team that I work on.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, I going to a school that values a lot of diversity, I feel like I've been able to really like help hone these interests and as well. But I think what you said is so valuable in terms of just, it really changes your mindset. And so I really appreciate that. And I know that we're very short on time, so I want to ask you one last question, which is, what advice do you have for people listening to our podcast, for young middle school and high school students that are extremely interested in the intersection of technology, business, engineering, and all of the above?
Oh yeah. Well, first I would say hooray, because I'm so glad to hear that that interest is peaked. There's just so many exciting opportunities to pursue. You know, I think that for the current generation of students, any possible job that they're going to have will have a technology element. So I'm glad to hear that interest in technology is there. And I think everyone should learn how to code. So it doesn't mean that you have to become a software developer for your whole career, but it will help you learn to think in a logical, structured way. And then it will also help you better understand technologies that you will use. Because like I said, every job will have a technology element. I think in terms of pursuing that interest in business and technology, the first thing is be curious and explore your interests. So you remember that agreeing to do something doesn't mean that you have to do it for your whole life, but you'll definitely learn something from every experience you have. And I would say second, be proactive in seeking new opportunities. So volunteer for projects, teams, task forces, et cetera, that are outside the scope of your current role. And third, take risks and stretch yourself. So if something sounds uncomfortable, then go for it. So apply for that job, volunteer for the role in your school club. And if you don't get it, then you will know what you need to work on to try again. And I would say most of my promotions or new opportunities I've had happened after I already started doing part of that. So stretch yourself, raise your hand, volunteer, and the new learning opportunities I think will come naturally.
I love that advice, especially about the concept of being comfortable, being uncomfortable in new opportunities. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciated your words and your advice and all of your learnings from your past experiences. So I really hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and thank you so much for joining us. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in this week, and catch us in the next couple of weeks for a new episode.